Good morning. Welcome to our Easter Sunday live stream here at New Life. We just enjoyed a wonderful time of having some of our children and families share different passages and songs and different dramatic presentations for us for this Easter morning. Thank you for everyone who participated. We're so glad to be together. We're looking forward to a special time of being in God's Word in just a moment. And drawing near to our risen Lord. Before we do, I want to give us and give you a few announcements and let you know what's going on in the life of our church. Be aware that the youth will have a Zoom meeting this evening at 6 o'clock, and you can get the link and logging information from Miss Amy. So please be a part of that. We'll continue our Wednesday night study using the Bible Project and be in 2 Peter this coming Wednesday. We've much improved our abilities there to present that material and to interact with one another. So I would encourage you to be a part of that this coming Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Also, we want to encourage you to continue to give to the Lord as you're able, your tithes and offering. There's multiple ways that you can give through mail, through electronic check. We've also set up online giving on our website that you can see how to give. So please continue to support the church and give to the Lord. And then finally, we just keep encouraging you to let us know if you have any requests, prayer requests, any special needs that you have, or you know someone who is in need at this time. Please don't hesitate to let us know. There's ways that we can minister and help even in the situation that we find ourselves in sheltering in place. Well, since we are in the midst of a study of the Gospel of John, I want to call us to worship this morning by reading a portion of John's account of the resurrection story, and it's found in John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Hear the word of the Lord as it calls us to worship this morning. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away.' And Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, 'I have seen the Lord,' and that he had said these things to her." As we hear the wonderful account of Jesus' rising from the dead from the Gospel of John, let's go before the Lord in prayer, in confidence to our risen Lord, and then I'll lead us after that in the confession of our faith. Let's pray together. Lord God, we are so thankful for this Easter morning. We're so thankful that we have the account of the Gospels that tell us Lord Jesus, that you are alive, that you have risen from the dead, that you have been seen, and that you have spoken and you have assured us of your death and burial and resurrection. And that because you are alive, those who are in Christ Jesus are also alive and have new life in your name. Lord, as we gather in your name today, we pray that you would be glorified and that we would come to a much greater understanding and knowledge and faith in you, in greater obedience and trust as we think on you, as we hear even more of the gospel account of how you appeared after having been dead for 3 days, and how you spoke and to your disciples. Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to understand and to believe and to follow you. And we pray all of this in your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. This morning, as part of our worship, before we turn again to the Gospel of John and look a little deeper, I want us to use the Apostles' Creed to confess our faith. I hope many of you know this already from our using it many times in worship. If you don't know it, then just listen and allow it to be something that in your heart you confess and to believe. Many times when we use this in worship, I ask you this question. I ask you, Christian, what is it that you believe? And the Apostles' Creed is a great answer, because it says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What a wonderful thing for us to confess our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our faith in our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all that it means for us who believe. I would invite you to go with me to the Gospel of John and to this 20th chapter. We've read the first 18 verses as a call to worship. And this morning we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 23 and picking up right where we ended our reading. But as we can think about drawing near to the Lord and we prepare ourselves for this portion of John's Gospel, I want you to think about something. I want you to think about how we're all accustomed to using various phrases to greet people when we first see them, and to say goodbye when we part. We do it all the time, where we might say to someone when we see them for the first time, oh, it's so good to see you. Or we may even say even kind of, hey, brother, how are you doing? Or some other type of a formal or non-formal type of address. Upon leaving someone, a lot of times we'll say, well, take care. Or if they've come to see us, we'll say, thank you for coming. Or some other type of expression. Although we get in the habit of using some of the same sayings over and over again, hopefully we genuinely mean something of what we're saying each time. And so we're very familiar with that. But do you know what it's like to greet people or to have them greet you in a time of crisis or a time of grief or a time of great celebration, where your greeting or your parting comes to mean more at those times? I remember right after 9/11 that how some people were saying, God bless America, with much more regularity and heartfelt desire because of all the things that were happening and what our nation had currently gone through. Every year on Easter morning, some Christians have a practice of saying to one another, He is risen. And the one who then hears that responds with, He is risen indeed. And it's this wonderful way of lifting up one another and greeting one another with the intensity of what this day marks. Now with the coronavirus pandemic, people are telling each other a lot more, be careful out there, protect yourself, be wise, or something like that with real concern. And so these types of things capture our attention, especially in times of crisis or in times of grief or in times of celebration. But this morning in our celebration of Jesus' resurrection, we're going to see Jesus use a common greeting which meant so much more than when it was heard at other times. It happened when Jesus appeared to his disciples as a group for the first time after his death. As we read in the opening verses of this chapter, Mary Magdalene and the other women had already seen the empty tomb and run back to tell Peter and John, who refers to himself, did you notice, as the other disciple, as the disciple whom Jesus particularly loved. Peter and John had already gone to the tomb and seen the empty tomb and the grave clothes for themselves. Mary Magdalene had experienced the special blessing of having seen the two angels and then having turned around and there was the Lord Jesus and having actually spoken to him and seen the risen Lord for herself. But Jesus hadn't appeared to all of the disciples as a group and spoken to them yet. When he did, he said the same greeting two different times with great significance and meaning, the greeting, peace be with you. As we think about the significance of Jesus's death and burial and resurrection, I want you to hear this greeting for yourself so that peace might be with you on this Easter morning that we're celebrating. So look with me where it is found. It's found, again, as I said, in verses 19 through 23 of John chapter 20. And as I always remind you, this is the word of God. This is on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. This is God's word that we're looking at this Lord's Day morning. As you try to imagine the situation the disciples found themselves in, I want you to try to imagine what it was for Jesus to come to them, and there may have been other followers of Jesus in the room with them, and for him to have come to them and said, Peace be with you. As you could see from the passage, it's Sunday evening. It's Sunday evening, and the last few days, they couldn't have been more tense and scary, more grief-filled, or perplexing. Think about it. 1 week earlier, they had hesitantly come into Jerusalem with Jesus, where he had received a king's welcome by a throng of people gathered for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They were lining the streets. They were putting down in front of him palm branches and their coats, and they were shouting, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest, which means save God now. Save God now in the highest. They were looking to him with all kinds of praise and adoration, as he comes into town riding on a donkey. And for the disciples, their 3 years of following Jesus maybe couldn't have looked more hopeful. They came with him. They probably weren't expecting such a response. And yet since then, it had been a wild roller coaster of a ride for them. Because Jesus came into Jerusalem, and once again, for a second time, he goes to the temple. And he goes to the temple, he cleanses the temple. He drives out the money changers. He drives out those who are selling animals at exorbitant rates and using his father's house as a place for buying and selling, and actually for taking advantage of people. And of course, the religious leaders who benefited from all those things, they were furious with him. So things changed very quickly and very seriously in the other direction, right after he rode in on Palm Sunday. And then after having celebrated a special, yet somewhat confusing Passover meal with Jesus, where he not only took the wine and the bread and made remarkable words and said remarkable things to them, that he then washed their feet, and he encouraged them to wash one another's feet and other people's feet, having this remarkable and yet very mysterious time with Jesus. They left there only to see Jesus arrested a short time later, and then running and fleeing for their very lives in fear that they would be arrested and what would happen to them as well. And since going into hiding that night, in one whirlwind day, Jesus is tried by not only the Jews, but also the Roman courts. He's sentenced to death, and then he's crucified on a Roman cross on Friday afternoon. Their hearts were broken. Their dreams were crushed. Their expectations were in shatters. What has happened in just these few days? And then after grieving, having a day of grieving on Saturday, the Sabbath, early Sunday, reports begin to come back to them of the empty tomb. Reports that Jesus had been seen alive and was risen from the dead. And the Jewish leaders then were in a frantic search for them, the disciples, and for the body of Jesus, because what happened, they wanted to know. And so where do we find this gathering? We find gathered together secretly these followers of Jesus with the disciples. And you can imagine, what are they doing? They're trying to figure out probably what to do. What do we do now? What happened? And that's when the totally unexpected took place. And Jesus appears before them, and he says to them, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Now, when Jesus said this, what kind of peace do you think he wanted for them? Well, obviously, the first kind of peace he wanted for them was the peace of knowing that it was him, that to not be afraid of his appearing. And all of a sudden, him coming into a room, it appears that he came in not through any doors, and just the doors were locked. And there he is, all of a sudden, in their midst. And we see his concern to show them peace, because he immediately begins to show them his hands and his side, where the nails had pierced him, and where the spear had pierced him when the soldiers put it into his side, so they could know, this is really you, Jesus. This is really you appearing to us. And so he wanted them to know that he was alive and to be comforted in their grief and over everything that had happened in the last few days in Jerusalem, his arrest and his death, his burial. But that was just the beginning of what Jesus, of the peace that Jesus wanted for them. The Jewish word for peace was the word shalom. And it's a word that referred to God's blessing in the richest and deepest of ways. It's a rich word with great meaning and depth. And so think more about what Jesus wanted for them. Jesus wanted them to not only know that he was alive, that it was him. Jesus wanted them to know the peace that they had with God on account of his resurrection. The fact that Jesus had been raised from the dead, have you ever thought about what it means? It means that if he was able to come back from the dead as a sacrifice for us, it means that the sacrifice had been accepted. It had been accepted by God. It had shown itself sufficient to satisfy God's wrath. God's wrath had been poured out upon him. God's wrath had been satisfied. He now was alive from the dead. If he was alive from the dead, what does it mean for a believer? Well, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and following expresses this peace with God by saying this. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Think about what that means. If you've put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been justified. You've been declared righteous or legally forgiven, cleansed by God. All that he did for you on the cross has affected your standing with God so that now you no longer stand connected to your sins in any way. No, you stand forgiven. You stand in a state of in a relationship with God that's based on grace. And you have a glorious future ahead of you. It doesn't matter what has happened in the past because you are at complete peace with God. He's declared that peace. You've been reconciled to him. And not only have you been reconciled to him and have been forgiven, you now have complete access into his presence at any time through the shed blood and through the name of Jesus. And when Jesus returns, what will it mean? Every believer will experience the glorification of body and soul, so that every remnant of sin, so that every remnant of the effect of the fall will be gone, and we'll live with God forever. And all those who have trusted in him in this state of being glorified, body and soul being perfected and made new. That's the peace that Jesus wanted them to know, much more than I'm alive. It's really me. But now there's peace. Peace be with you. The peace of knowing that you are at peace with God, and with the peace of knowing that Jesus was alive and knowing that we're at peace with God, they could have peace where else? And we can have peace where else? Well, obviously, in our hearts. We can have peace in our hearts because of Christ's death and burial and resurrection, no matter what happens. Because if Jesus had been raised from the dead, then he could raise them from the dead just as he promised. Think about it for these disciples and these followers in that room. The Jewish and the Roman authorities, they could arrest them at any time, put them to death like they did Jesus, and it would not threaten their hope of glory or their future. They could storm the doors at every moment, at the very moment, and every one of them could be put to death, and yet it could not threaten the blessed future that they had with God through Jesus. Or they could live out their lives, a full life, and die a normal death. But they were now united to Jesus in his death and his resurrection on their behalf. So think about what that means. It means for them and for us, we can have peace and rest and calm in our hearts. It doesn't matter what life throws at us, because Jesus is alive, we're alive. Because Jesus has overcome sin and death, he's overcome sin and death for us, so that we can have peace no matter what. Here's the question for us this morning. Do we have that peace, that kind of peace, through knowing the risen Lord? That's what Jesus wanted for his disciples. That's what Jesus wants for us. Whether we are living normal lives or we're going through a pandemic like we are today, and our lives are being threatened in a whole different way. He wants peace to be with you, to be with you. And think about how much this applies to every day. Every day we face threats from others. Every day there's a threat. There's a threat of someone else bringing harm to us or affecting our lives in a major significant way. We live under the threat, even on a normal day, of getting seriously sick. We live under the threat of death. But the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ is, in the midst of that, we can have shalom. Do you have that? Do you have that from Jesus? If you've had that in the past, then are you looking to other things? Have you gotten distracted, and have you taken your eyes off of Jesus and begun to be filled with fear, begin to be filled with doubt, and lost sight of the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ? Peace be with you. That's the first peace that Jesus spoke. But Jesus didn't say this only once. Did you notice he said it twice? You might think about the difference of as being in the first place that his emphasis was on peace being with you, with his disciples. The second time, his emphasis was on peace being with you. Now think about the difference, so that peace would be with you, that it would be with them, so that they would be his messengers, or you might think about it this way, his couriers of peace. That they take it with them, they share it with other people. Because the second time he said it to them, he went on to say, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And so you see the emphasis is that now as his followers, now as his apostles, they were to take up the mantle, as it were, of being God's messengers and be his messengers of this peace, of this peace. And of course, one of the most important details about their commissioning to be his messengers was that Jesus wasn't just sending them out to be messengers of this peace in their own power. He comes upon them, and imagine the scene, and he comes upon them and he breathes in some way. And he says to them, he breathes on them and he says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that sets you apart. The Holy Spirit that comes from the Father and the Son. It's the Spirit's presence within us, which is able to give us power to share this this message of peace, the peace that God is giving us. You know, this morning I was taking out my new morning mercies, and I was reading our devotional that we've been going through this year. And it was interesting how it was talking about how we can easily forget our identity. And he talked about the emphasis and the identity we have through the triune God. That if we're a Christian, we're sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're his children. Think about that identity of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is ruling over all. And then goes on to explain how we're not only in the family, we're in the family of also the Son, the Savior of the world, who is our friend and brother. Who is our friend, who is our brother, who is the one who has God the Father has used to save us. But not only that, the Holy Spirit from God the Father and God the Son dwells within us as our helper. Jesus didn't leave us to ourselves. As we'll see, and when we re-study in months to come, the rest of John's gospel is rich with what it means to have the Holy Spirit as our helper. In the work that God's called us to do. And so we can be his messengers of this peace that comes from God, because God is with us by his Spirit. And he works in us. He is in us. And so one of the results of this commissioning would be their authority, as we see, to declare the forgiveness of sins, or the lack of the forgiveness of sins. Now, when you read this, don't misunderstand what Jesus was saying. He wasn't saying that the apostles, or he wasn't saying that any human being has the legal authority to forgive sins, because only God has the power to forgive sins, as we see in other parts of Scripture. But they did have the authority to declare the forgiveness of sins, or the lack thereof, based on people's response to Jesus and to the good news about him. What we need to see today is that even though we haven't been set apart like the apostles were as the founders of the church, we have been set apart by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We've been called to be his messengers if we put our trust in him. And through the application, through the preaching of the Scriptures, we too are called to be his messengers. And we too can assure someone that if they look to Jesus, they're forgiven and they have peace with God. But if someone has rejected Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection, they're not forgiven. They still stand in their sins, with the penalty of their sins being upon them. They don't have peace with God, and they have no basis for peace in their hearts, and they need to turn to Christ. It's a high calling. It's a responsibility. As people, if you think about it, are dying every day around us who've rejected Christ, or do not know him. They have no peace. They have no future with God and his Son. And it's in time of crisis like we're going through that many times people are more open than at other times, because they're facing the reality of sickness. They're facing the reality of death. They're facing realities that maybe they've been able to put off and not think about and fill their lives with other things. This week, as I was reading a ministry letter from a ministry that I follow, it cited a recent example of someone being a messenger in Italy. It talked about a doctor who was there working with coronavirus patients in Lombardy, the northern Italian virus city that apparently became a hot spot. And he described taking part in the efforts to help the patients with a group of doctors who did not believe in God, and who experienced an amazing shock to their hearts and minds. Apparently exhausted by their work, from which two doctors had already died, they all noticed the arrival of a patient, a 75-year-old pastor, who, though breathing with great difficulty, went around reading Scripture to the other suffering patients and holding their hands as they died. These doctors who were not believers were apparently so intrigued, they began to listen to him reading the Scriptures, and they began to listen to his prayers. And finally, it says, surrounded by the reality of death, including the death of the pastor that they were watching, they began to pray to God themselves that God would come to their aid, and they discovered, many of them discovered, the peace that comes from knowing Jesus. That's just happened in the last few weeks in Italy, because they had peace. This pastor had peace with God. This pastor turned and shared and was a messenger of that peace to others, even though he himself was sick and eventually died. How could he do that? He could do that because he knew the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that Jesus was alive. He knew that Jesus had caused him to be reconciled to God, and that he stood by grace as God's child in favor and in good standing and in love. He knew that Jesus was his brother and his friend, and he knew that God by his Holy Spirit was with him. What an incredible testimony of how he knew peace and he shared that peace with others. And so as we celebrate Easter this morning, as we celebrate Jesus's his death, his burial, his resurrection, my prayer for us is that that peace would be with us. Peace would be with you in your heart. A supernatural peace that only God can give, a peace that it says sometimes it says in the book of Philippians, surpasses all understanding. It's able to guard our hearts and minds through Christ, through knowing Christ Jesus. I pray that you would know that peace, that it would be with you, but also pray that it would be with you. As you interact with other people, as you call and you text and you write, as you have opportunity coming out of whenever we are free from this pandemic and we're released from the shelter in place order, that you'll be able to share the peace that God has given you and has given all who believe. Peace be with you this Easter morning. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the peace that you alone are able to give us. It is a peace that the world can't give us. No one else can give us. No possession on this earth can give us. No other relationship can give us. But you're able to give us true and lasting peace. Peace with God. Peace within our hearts. Peace to be able to share with other people. Lord, we pray and ask that you would minister first and foremost within our hearts. You know, dear Lord, what's potentially disrupting our peace this morning. You know the things that we may be focusing on. You know the things that we maybe have exalted, the things that we're holding on to and hoping that they will save us instead of looking to you, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us by having read and heard and considered your word today and all that it shares with us about you being alive and what you've overcome and accomplished for us. And Lord, would you also grant us the grace to share this peace and where we get this peace with other people? Would you cause, dear Lord, even through this pandemic, for Christians to be able to share and to lead countless numbers to faith in you, Lord Jesus, and to the peace that you alone can give? Lord, thank you for our church family. Thank you for the special time we've had together this morning. Lord, bless the rest of our Easter Sunday together. Bless each family and individual. Bless their time of thinking and reflecting and continuing, Lord, to draw near to you through your Son, Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and be with you. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.